On July 1st, in the year 1535, St. Thomas More was led before 15 judges and 12 jurors, and he was charged with 4 counts of treason. According to his accusers, More had refused to accept King Henry VIII's supremacy over the church in England. More had conspired against the king, had stirred up sedition, and had denied the Parliament's power to declare the king the head of the Church of England. St. Thomas More, the accomplished lawyer that he was, provided his own legal defense at the trial, and he argued calmly but compellingly against each of the charges. The judges and jurors were stacked against him, however, and it took them only 15 minutes to arrive at a guilty verdict. When More was asked for his final statement at the trial, he made a prayer. He prayed that all who had opposed him might remain his friends forever, and that they might one day meet again in heaven. Sometime between the end of the trial and his execution by beheading 5 days later, St. Thomas More wrote a prayer titled, A Devout Prayer Before Dying. The prayer goes like this. Almighty God, have mercy on all that bear me evil will and would harm me. And by such easy, tender, and merciful means as your infinite wisdom can best devise, grant that their faults and mine may both be amended and redressed, and make us saved souls in heaven together, where we may live and love together with you and your blessed saints. O glorious Trinity, grant this for the sake of the bitter passion of our sweet Savior Jesus. Amen. In the end, the measure of Christian love is the love we show our enemies. To love our enemies means willing only what is good for them. And this includes, and it especially includes, their eternal salvation. During his life on earth, More had regularly prayed for the grace to regard his greatest enemies as his greatest friends. This is what More did, even unto death. And St. Thomas More did this because this is what Jesus did. Jesus loved his enemies, even unto death. At the Last Supper, Jesus called his disciples friends. He called them friends, although all of them, with one exception, would soon become his enemies by abandoning him and betraying him. Knowing full well what his disciples would soon do, Jesus rose from supper, took off his outer garments, tied a towel around his waist, and began to wash and dry his disciples' feet. In this one act, Jesus symbolized everything he would do the following day, everything that he would do in forgiving his enemies and in dying for them, dying for their eternal salvation. As many of you are familiar, in the Gospel of John, it's common for Jesus to be talking on one level and those listening to him to understand him on a completely different level. When Jesus tells Nicodemus near the beginning of the Gospel of John that he must be born again, Nicodemus takes Jesus literally, thinking he must somehow return to his mother's womb. When Jesus tells the Samaritan woman that he can give her living water, she thinks that Jesus is speaking of a literal river or stream. In our gospel today, when Jesus says that the one who has bathed is clean and only needs to have his feet washed, Peter, quite understandably, is thinking of literal bathing and literal feet washing. Jesus, however, is once again speaking on a deeper spiritual level. Instead of physical cleanliness, cleanliness of the body, Jesus is referring to the cleanliness of the soul. Jesus is speaking about the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins first brought about through the spiritual bath of baptism and renewed through the spiritual feet washing of reconciliation. When Jesus washed his disciples' feet, he wasn't just offering them a model of service, though he certainly was doing that. He was also offering them a model and a sacrament of forgiveness. No matter how dirty their feet were, Jesus was willing to wash them. No matter what they had done or what they were going to do, Jesus was willing to forgive them. He was willing even to wash the feet of Judas, Judas who had been induced by the devil to betray Jesus. Jesus offered Judas forgiveness, even though in the end, Judas wasn't willing to accept it. The measure, the true measure of Christian love, is the love we show to our enemies. This means willing only what is good for them, including and especially including their eternal salvation. What Jesus did for his disciples in washing their feet at the Last Supper symbolized everything he was going to do for them and for all of us the next day. God proves his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies, Christ died for us. What Jesus did when he took off his outer garments and tied a towel around his waist also symbolizes what he did in giving us the Eucharist. Jesus' eternal glory, the glory he had from before time began, his eternal glory was revealed momentarily in that great event of the Transfiguration on the mountain. And his glory was manifested definitively in his resurrection. But every time Jesus makes himself present on this altar, Jesus sheds his glory. Jesus takes off his outer garments, as it were, and hides. He hides behind the humble appearance of food and drink. Jesus in the Eucharist comes to us with profound humility. He enters our mouths and our souls, not clothed in glory, but with a humble towel tied around his waist. When we come forward for Holy Communion and we say, Amen, we're not just saying, I believe that this is really you, Jesus. We're not just saying, I believe this is really you, hidden in a humble way behind what looks like bread. We're not just saying that. When we say amen, we're also committing ourselves to showing the kind of love that Jesus showed. A love not just for our friends, but for our enemies, the people we detest. We're committing ourselves to love those people. When we say amen, we are saying, I am willing to forgive my enemies, willing to love my enemies, willing to desire only what is good for them, including and especially including that they would one day be with me in heaven. It is no small thing, you see, to receive the Holy Eucharist. Not least of which because, of course, we're receiving the Savior of the world, but also because we are receiving the one who said to us, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We are receiving the one who washed the feet of his friends, yes, but also of his enemies. We're receiving the one who commands us to do the same. And so, brothers and sisters, as we witness and participate in the washing of the feet this evening, as we come forward to receive the Holy Eucharist, may we make the prayer of St. Thomas More our own. Almighty God, have mercy on all that bear me evil will and would harm me. And by such easy, tender, and merciful means as your infinite wisdom can best devise, grant that their faults and mine may both be amended and redressed, and make us saved souls in heaven together, where we may ever live and love with you and your blessed saints. O glorious Trinity, grant this for the sake of the bitter passion of our sweet Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.